five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. I'll shout. Hey, there it is. Thank you. Oh, mama. Good morning, everybody. Let's see. All right. Come on in. Have a seat. Let's talk about what God's been doing in our lives this week. Yeah, I think they're already talking about what he's been doing in their lives. That's fine. I'm that teacher. Share it with the class. All right, what prayer requests or praises or... Your daughter's visiting. I didn't hear. Oh, Christy Carlson is your daughter's name. Okay, gotcha. I thought that was the direct object. Okay. Wow. Dr. Livingstone, I presume. All right. Granddaughter. How many is that now? What does that make? Granddaughters, grandsons? Grandchildren? Okay. Oh, I see. I got you. Okay, I was going to say, I knew you had. Okay, well, we need her to land then.
We do.
She's going to make her entrance.
Yeah, they won state championship in basketball.
Wow, okay.
And they put her on the plane to Zambia.
Wow.
We came home dressed.
Brave new world. Oh, man, yeah, I hear that. All right, new granddaughter. And your daughter, we'll keep her in our prayers. And others, requests, praises, celebrations.
Rain, rain, rain.
We need rain. I got three alerts yesterday that watch out for fires. So it's a watch, not a warning. So.
I'm praying for the concert coming up.
Mm-hmm. Jordan St. Cyr this Friday. And I think the plan maybe is Wednesday to bring out some pews, so good help on Wednesday. All right. Check 1, 2. Can everybody hear me? Jim Bob, can you hear me through your doohickeys? Okay, all right. It may be a little quiet, they're saying. All right. Other prayer requests or praises?
I think there will be a women's walk in March, won't there?
Women's walk in March, okay.
And then I guess a men's walk.
In April, you say? Okay. Women's walk in April.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Yeah, women in March around spring break. And safe travel.
Oh, men's is in April. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. And spring break's approaching. We're not quite there yet, but spring break mercies, if there is such thing. Let's see. Yeah, Monday the 17th is the first official day. I'm having a back injection the next day on the 18th that we can start praying for. Hopefully that will, I mean, it's supposed to bring me some relief because it kills the nerve bundle in there, but it's temporary. Good Lord designed our bodies to be resilient, and new nerves will grow within the year. So we'll praise God whatever happens with that. All right, let's go to the Father. Lord, thank you for calling this meeting. Thank you that you love us so much that you have given the only Son you have. And not just us, Father. Help us to grow in us through the Spirit the love of people who are not yet followers of Jesus that you have, God. We want that in our lives. When we see them in line at Walmart or we get behind them in traffic, we want to know your love for them. So help me in that regard. God, the requests that we've held up to you this morning for health, for safety, for entrance into this world, we ask, Father, that you will bring all that about according to your will. We ask that you will protect us from any fires that might spring up according to your will. Again, your wind will blow wherever it wants, Father, and so we yield ourselves to you. And we ask now that your wind will blow in this room so that we can understand your word as we open it and believe with faith that you will speak each to our hearts in ways that each one of us individually needs to grow. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so in this class on, can everybody hear now? Do what? Oh, I see. Okay, we weren't sure which one to grab. Gotcha. I'm not sure how to. Where he got it in case we ever bump into there again. Okay. Okay, good, good. All right. In this class, overall on discipleship, at the moment on spiritual warfare, and in the last several months, we've been focusing on prayer, that aspect of spiritual warfare. The topic that we left with last week is, how do we know when we're hearing from God if a message is from God or if it's from Satan? I referenced a dream that I had where I woke up and I remembered the whole dream. It was vibrant. I didn't have to think about it. Those are all flags to me that I've learned for me. It's not for everybody, that this could be a message from God. So I was open to, is this a message from God? Well, how do we hold that up? I can't look up Ecclesiastes 3:7 and it says, the dream that you had on last night is from God. How do we determine? Of course, we have the Holy Spirit. We can always rely on the Holy Spirit. But how do we do that? I mean, boots on the ground kind of stuff. We watched a video, Pete Grieg, he's kind of going through his series on prayer. And for those who couldn't understand his British accent, he gave us an ABC method. He likes things simple that you can remember. And so it's ABC, advice, get advice from an older or maybe more mature Christian. Doesn't necessarily have to be chronologically older than you. But get advice for help with a message. Go to the Bible. That's the B. Look in the Bible. Does the message uphold the principles in Scripture, or does it contradict the principles in Scripture? And then C, common sense. Does it feel like a message from God? Does it, in other words, don't check your common sense with your coat. Bring your common sense to the table and use all these things. Of these, which would you say is the most important that we use? A, B, or C? B, yeah. B has got to rise to the top. It's got to be the, I'm sorry, I don't like it when teacher says, guess what I'm thinking. But I shouldn't have done it in that format. We have to anchor everything that we do, everything we believe, we say in Scripture. It's got to be grounded in there. So I would hold that up at the top. And I mentioned last week,
I would say common sense. Well, I would even say advice with a caveat. Make sure that that is a Christian that can be trusted with wisdom, that you trust God has used this Christian in the past. It's not just somebody you happen to hang out with at the water cooler at work. It's somebody that you actually trust. But common sense, frequently God will give a message that doesn't make common sense. I use the example of Peter walking on the water. That's not common sense for a fisherman to hear. So frequently the message that you'll hear doesn't make sense, but it upholds the principles of Scripture. So in that case, I would lean toward it being a message from God. Well, this is where we left last week. In talking about this from a discipleship perspective, I said, especially if you're working with a young person, before they go to the Bible, because they're not going to be familiar with the Bible yet, probably, they will go to Google. They will ask Google its wisdom before they ask the Bible. That's something that in working with them, we've got to get them trained out of. We've got to get them trained to trust God's Spirit to use the Bible, even if you don't know it very well, to help you glean the truths from Scripture, because the truths of Scripture cannot be, The truths of Scripture cannot be doubted. The truths of Google can be doubted. Go ahead.
We can ask Google for Bible verses on whatever thing.
Right.
Yes.
In fact, frequently it will, well, I don't know, I haven't done it as much now that Google is really using AI as much as they are. But it used to be if I Googled scriptures on the resurrection, it would take me to a website that a Christian or Christian group has made a list of scriptures on the resurrection or whatever the topic is. But now I think its AI is more likely to be the thing that it references first. Now, just because it's from artificial intelligence doesn't automatically make it wrong. All right? Satan presents truths. He doesn't present truth, but he presents truths wrapped in lies. Or maybe the truth is what's wrapped around a lie, okay? Did God really say you would die if you eat that fruit? you will not die. And Eve probably took that bite, along with her husband who was with her. They probably took that bite and waited for the lightning bolt. It didn't happen. So, hey, it looks like God made a mistake here. It looks like God was wrong when he said we would die. But that's how Satan works. He gets really close to truth, but he puts just a little nudge in there that takes you in the wrong way. You know, it doesn't take much at the beginning of a journey to get you way off course. And anybody who's used GPS or the old maps knows that. So here is what AI from Google responded when I said, how do you determine if a message is from God or Satan for the Christian? Because Google serves Muslims and Jews and everybody. Okay, we are Judeo-Christian, we should say. Here was what the AI response was. There's no magic formula for determining if you're hearing God or Satan, but here are some ways to discern the difference. There are seven that it listed. Number one, get to know God. The more you know God, the better you'll be able to recognize his voice. By the way, we're going to take these each and look to see if the Bible has anything to say about this, okay? That's this morning's class. Number two, pray for wisdom. When you're confused, pray for wisdom as James 1:5 suggests. So there's, Sandy, your suggestion of asking for scriptures. There's a scripture right there. And we're going to look at it. Number three, study the Bible. The Bible is God's primary way of speaking to us. If what you hear disagrees with the Bible, it's likely a lie from Satan. I would say definitely a lie from Satan. Number four, listen for a whisper. Ask God to speak in the quiet of your mind. Number five, consider the content. God's voice is kind, loving, inspirational, and wise. Satan's voice is negative, destructive, vicious, accusing. Number six, I'm not commenting on these now because you understand this is the class. Number six, test the voice. See if the voice creates peace or anxiety in your heart. And number seven, give it time. As your relationship with Jesus matures, you'll become more confident in discerning God's voice. So, I don't know how you react to that. To me, that shows me how scary AI is going to be in the future. It already is. See, I can see Satan using AI, artificial intelligence, for those who are really unplugged. You can see how Satan is going to get people to trust in artificial intelligence without reservation, and then begin to subtly shift the tenor of responses to being something that questions what God has said in Scripture. See, even then, he won't just out and out deny it, usually. He questions. That's the way he still works with me. That's the way he worked in the garden. Did God really say? He just wants to introduce just the hint of a question. How many scriptures were offered in Google's response? Did you lose count? One. Yeah. So they got their token scripture in. Well, if I were looking for an answer, which I am, I would want scriptures for every single thing it says. I would want to know these things are grounded in Scripture. We have to teach new Christians. A lot of times we have to teach ourselves that the primary source of God's truth for us today is Scripture. It's the Bible. So, Bible study is essential for the Christian. Yes, go ahead and use Google, but run it through the filter of God's Word. Except, not the opposite way, okay? Don't do it the opposite way, where we run the truths of God's Word through the filter of artificial intelligence. That's putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable, as they used to say in Greek. Now, I didn't read the last line. I did this last week. I didn't read the last line that Google's AI response offered. If you're experiencing auditory hallucinations, you should seek help from a mental health professional. Okay? We have people here in this body of believers. Part of their testimony is that they have heard the audible voice of God. And that's just the way God has worked in their lives. Now, I would say this is maybe Satan getting his toe in the door. Where you, it's all well and good to read it in ancient scripture. It's all well and good to kind of run it through logic and trying to figure things out on your own. But the minute it turns supernatural, that's off the table. You shouldn't go with that. Now, I would say seeking help from a mental health professional, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would, again, put a caveat there. A Christian mental health professional that you respect. Okay, so I don't think it's a problem to go to a Christian psychologist or psychiatrist and say, I'm hearing voices. I need help. Is this from God? Is it from Satan? What I'd like to do is to take a look at each of these bits of advice and think of scriptures that will either support or deny or maybe enhance a part of this point that it didn't enhance. The first, and by the way, I've came up with one or two verses. There's lots of verses on each one. If God speaks to you in a way, gives you a suggestion, if you think of a scripture that might have to do with this, please throw a hand up there and step up to a microphone, if you will, and let's have a Bible study together. It's not just me teaching, in other words. I want the Holy Spirit to teach through all of us. So the first point, get to know God. The more you know God, the better you'll be able to recognize His voice. That sounds right. There's nothing wrong sounding with that. What it made me think of is John 10, verses 27 through 28. So to keep me from having to talk the whole time, would somebody please step up to a microphone and read John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
All right. I'm not a shepherd, nor the son of a shepherd, but fortunately we have a shepherd of sorts here. Jim Bob, I don't know. Do sheep still recognize the voice of their shepherd?
Not much.
Okay. That may be commentary on more than just sheep. All right. Sethel, did you want to say something? Oh, you had your hand out like you're like preparing yourself for Jim Bob's response. Okay, all right, I see.
And even my dad's day and time, they would bring the sheep in at night and put them in a pen to protect them from the farmers. Well, there's a lot more intimacy there. And I never feed my sheep. They graze.
Oh, okay.
So they're more like wild creatures in a way.
Okay. All right. Now, I know that many of us have hearing aids, and those online certainly didn't hear, but I want you to hear what Jim Bob said. He said, we don't shepherd today the way they shepherded back then. Today, he doesn't even feed his sheep. They graze. So they're really more like a collection of wild animals on his farm. But back in Jesus' day, this was an apt metaphor because the shepherds lived with their sheep. And I mean, I've heard it said that even in the Middle East today, where they still do this, shepherds will walk together, mingling their flocks together. You've probably heard this illustration. And then when it's time to get them to go to their sheep pens at night to protect them from the varmints, as you said, good West Texas word, the shepherds would give a whistle or a shout or start singing. And the sheep of that shepherd would be familiar with that voice. And this mingled bunch of animals would disperse magically and each go to their own shepherd. Now, again, I'm not a shepherd, but that's the way I read, I have read that sheep do listen or at least can recognize the sound of the voice of the shepherd. So much so that Jesus uses this illustration for people who would be very well aware of what that means. They've seen it happen. They've seen it out there. My sheep listen to my voice. Amen. I know them. They follow me. So I saw an illustration. I can't remember his name, the guy that's gone to Israel 30 times.
Vanderlaan,
yeah. He showed an illustration in a class I went to one time where there were animals all over this slope, okay, down and going down into a valley. He said, these animals all up and down the cliff, those are goats. This line of animals, those are sheep. Sheep follow in a straight line. Now, Jim Bob, I can't speak for your sheep, but sheep follow the shepherd in a straight line. Goats go where they will. They might end up in the right place. They might not. So the point is, this is a valid point. It can be backed with Scripture. The more you know God, the better you'll be able to recognize His voice. Can anybody think of any other Scriptures that does this bring to mind? We're going to do this on every one. I'm going to present one or two, and then I'd like for y'all to throw in your bits of wisdom.
Well, I thought about Job 33, the 33rd chapter, and it's good. It's best to read the whole thing in context. But it's Elihu, which in Hebrew is he is God or who is God. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my little thing says Elihu claims to speak for God. Well, we have our human understanding. But anyway, verse 14 is so good. Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men while they slumber in their beds. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. So I think the theme, what he's teaching on, is good, that God is going to work for our good, our long-term salvation and our, you know, final destination. God's working for our good, and he will chastise us. Now, in our human nature, are we going to ignore things and want to be like the goats and go our own ways? Yes, forgive us, Lord. Sometimes we do.
Yeah,
but he's going to gently keep nudging, you know. He may nudge us, he may elbow us, he may eventually knock us up.
to get our attention. Yeah. Well, and that brings up an important point. God's perspective is the long view. He's the marathoner. We tend to be sprinters, and we see this bit of green grass over here, and we say, but God, this is good. Why aren't we going over here? I can't think of a single reason why you would take me more into the yellow than the green. And because I can't think of a single reason, then there must not be a single reason. And that's where a lot of people start falling off their trust in God. In fact, that's where a lot of atheists land, because or people who are going through mourning, who begin to lose their faith. Because I can't see how God could possibly use this for a benefit, for my good, for those who love the Lord, to quote Romans. Because I can't see it, it must not exist. Okay, that's a very arrogant thing to say if you think about it. Atheism is a very arrogant position, in my opinion. All right, the next nugget of wisdom was pray for wisdom. And this is the one that actually offered a scriptural reference. When you're confused, pray for wisdom, as James 1:5 suggests. And I would go farther than that. I would say he didn't suggest it. He told it. So somebody please get up and read James 1:5. And go ahead and read down through verse 8. Because he makes a commentary on how we should ask. So James 1:5 through 8.
But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let not him ask in faith without any doubting. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
A note there in my Bible from a book that I read, Thoughts in Solitude by Thomas Merton. I love what he says. He says, what is the use of praying if at the very moment of prayer we have so little confidence in God that we are busy planning our own kind of answer to our prayer? In my opinion, that's the way they were praying for Peter's release from jail. When he was arrested and put in jail, and the Christians were praying for him at night, and he showed up, it surprised them. They didn't even believe it was him at the door. So I think they had in their minds, we've got to figure this one out. That's the way Abram did when it was time to believe that God would give him a son. Does anybody happen to remember how long a time passed from the promise that he would have a son to the birth of Isaac? That's one of those pop quiz questions I shouldn't have asked, sorry. 25 years, a quarter of a century, and this guy was old when it started. So, you know, Medicare probably doesn't have a maternity clause in it. This is not common sense. And yet, God promised that it would happen. So he starts. By the way, we shouldn't be so hard on Abram like he was coming up with an idea nobody had ever heard of before. That was the common practice back when your family was your clan, and the size of your clan, especially the men in your clan, meant your survival or not. So it was sleep with your wife, sleep with your maidservant, sleep with as many as you can to build up your clan as quickly as possible so that you'll be protected. It was a common practice. Not that it was right. And we can go into commentary on how we're still suffering from that, but let's stick with James 1:5. When we're confused, when we have questions, we need to ask God for wisdom. James goes on to say we shouldn't doubt when we have questions, when we don't understand. How many of you have no doubts whatsoever when it comes to your Christian beliefs? That's a tall order. You know, supposedly the Red Baron said, courage is fear that you ignore, or fear that you overcome, okay? Faith is doubts that you have overcome. That's why it's called faith and not knowledge. I have the knowledge that Sally Miller is my wife. I don't have to have faith in that, okay? We're still married, as far as I know. So that's knowledge. And someday we will have knowledge of God. But right now, before we're in the hereafter, before we're in Earth 2.0, we have to have faith. And we're all going to have doubts. So what does he mean? When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. What do you think he's talking about there? That's an honors course question, isn't it? You're going to let the honors course people answer. Yeah.
Later on in verse 8, mm-hmm. where it says double-minded.
Yes.
Mine has a reference to hesitating. You hesitate, and it's unstable.
Okay. The Greek word there, not that I speak it or anything, but I just looked it up, dipsikos, or dipsikos. Okay, so it literally means two-minded. So I would say that's an interpretation of what that means. Literally, it does mean two minds. But I think you're right. So yeah. Those who are double-minded might hesitate to put their faith in God.
So I hesitate to answer the door when Peter's knocking on it. I hesitate.
Good. Yeah. Like they hesitated to answer the door
when Peter was actually knocking on the door, the answer to their prayers. I don't have the answer of what James had in mind when he said double-minded, but that image of being blown and tossed on the sea, like you know, when you're on the sea in a storm, I would say what that image is building in this metaphor is the idea that not that you doubt how God will answer your question or your problem, but that he can answer your problem or your question. I went through a real time of testing of my faith about 20 years ago, and I was preparing to teach a class through WTC out at the prisons, so it wasn't a Christian class, but it was on world religions. And the research that I was doing for other religions kept bringing up time and again stories that are almost exactly like stories that we read in the Bible, like the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama. He sat under the Bodhi tree where he encountered three temptations in one evening by the demons. Does that sound familiar? And that happened several hundred years before Jesus. And I really was having doubts. And I had never had those kind of doubts before. You know, is there anything unique to Christianity? That's why I wrote that first book, by the way. Christianity is the most unique religion. I won't get into all that, but the point is I doubted what the truth was. I didn't doubt who the truth was. I still believed God is not only the truth, but if he wants to, he can answer these questions to where even I can understand it, and he will, if that's his will. So what I did is I started on Google Docs. I opened a new file, and it was just questions that I have. And that's actually the outline of the book. I came up with 14 questions of how can this be unique? How is this not the same as all other religions that are out there? God answered every single question, every single one. I was doubting whether I might understand the answers. I was doubting maybe what the truths of those answers were, but I never doubted the truth. Okay, so I think that's what he's referring to here. The double-minded man is the one who's beset by circumstances of life, and that governs how his life is going. The Christian goes through those same kinds of circumstances, but he walks on the water steadily. So, Jim Bob. You're right. Praying in the will of God, praying that if it be your will, let this happen, that's scriptural. Jesus did it, so that's right. But too many people are using that maybe as a caveat, a way, like you say, an exit door for God, so that God doesn't come off looking bad if I don't get what I ask for. Okay, yeah, Sandy.
I shared the story I shared with you a few weeks back in class yet.
Oh, no. That's right, your testimony of, I mean, okay. Your friend's testimony.
Yeah, a friend of mine. I have had a Christian friend. She was, so to speak, hesitating on a huge life-changing decision and maybe double-minded. She and her husband were well-known and respected in the community, but it was kind of a false front, so to speak, in a rocky foundation. But they had worked for years to build up a business. I think he was a deacon in the church, And they'd finally, you know, gotten a nice home and just everything appeared really good. Well, unbeknownst to all but the closest ones to her, he was a philanderer, a serial philanderer, and to the point where it was putting her health in jeopardy. And so it became real serious. She was hesitating because she did not want to lose her home. She did not want to lose everything, the business. She knew that, you know, it would be all come crashing down. And so she was tormented, so to speak, in her soul. What do I do? What do I do? And at this time, I was not of a mind that God speaks to us in a small, still voice. I was not at all, you know, this was a weird, still a weird thing. But one day, I was going to school first thing in the morning, and I strongly felt like God was wanting me to call my friend and share a Bible verse with her. And I just wrestled with God over it. I thought, this is weird, God. But anyway, I did. I got. She had her conference period, I think had her first or second period. And I said, dear friend, I hope this doesn't seem too weird to you, but I have this verse I want to share with you. And I'll read it in a minute. But she said, Sandy, already this morning, this is the third time God has given me this verse. She said she subscribed to Our Daily Bread, which was an email Bible verse of the day. She said, I got to school and I flipped over my little teacher calendar on my desk. That was the verse of the day. And now you are sharing this verse. And the verse was from Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. She had to leave her peace, her security, her comfort, everything, her whole life. Anyway, it was very hard. So we should hesitate sometime and not make rash decisions, because it wasn't just about her. It involved a community, her family, and many others. So may God give us wisdom and discernment.
I'm glad you were able to see an opportunity to share that, because I remember now that you were telling me about that. I get a lot of really good comments after class. And I'm like, why didn't you share that in the class? This is perfect. So we do need discernment when we are praying for things. And that's a good reason to pray, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, in his model prayer, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't think those are separate things. Your kingdom come on earth means in my heart, where there's a throne, I get off of it and I allow God or Jesus to sit on that throne. Your kingdom come and your will be done, those are the same things. Okay? When he is sitting on the throne of my heart, he's making the shots. He's calling the shots. Do I have that mastered? No. That's why I don't have a halo yet. That's why my feet still reach the ground. I don't think any of us are going to perfect that in this lifetime, but what we can look forward to is the perfection of us through God, that through Jesus' sacrifice, we will get to the point to where, you know, like the angels that Elijah saw, that is a really weird image, but the wheel moved wherever the Spirit's will was telling it to move. My will, my body moves wherever my body tells it to move too often, and not my spirit. We will get to the point to where, like that angel, our bodies will do exactly what our spirit tells us to do. But did you want to say something, Terry? Yeah, okay. But when we are needing wisdom about something, discernment, that's when we have to go to God and say, God, please give us discernment. Help me not to be double-minded about this. If this isn't what you want for me, I'll take it. I won't like it, but I'll do it. But may
this happen in my life? May I have discernment? And so praying for wisdom is what James says. The next point, which we'll start with next week, study the Bible. The Bible is God's primary way of speaking to us. If what you hear disagrees with the Bible, it's likely a lie from Satan. All right? Think about scriptures that might be talking about. Thank you.